And good afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It's the 28th of July, 2011. Hope your week is going well. All is falling into place for you on this last week of July, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I am the host for the Buckmaster Show right here on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. Plus, thanks to a new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. We are live weekdays from noon to one. The lineup for today's show, a leadoff interview with the mayor of Oro Valley, Dr. Satish Hiremath. Then we'll be discussing the critical shortage of blood donations in our community. At the bottom of the hour, if you have an addiction or you know someone who does, whether it's alcohol or some other substance, you will want to hear what we have to say from Carol Bennett. She's the author of a new best-selling book titled Reclaim Your Life. Then we'll close out the program with the folks from Voices for Education and the big weekend plans for supporting public education in this community. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show supported by our fine sponsors. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free from anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them to us using the Buckmaster Show Facebook. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear from on the Buckmaster Show, please, we encourage you to contact us. It's 12:07 on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to begin now with a conversation about what's going on in the town of Oro Valley. Oro Valley is one of Arizona's fastest-growing communities. The town council there recently adopted new design standards for development. We're going to find out what that's all about. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Satish Hiremath. Dr. Hiremath is the Oro Valley town mayor. He is a practicing dentist. Mayor Hiremath was elected to a four-year term last November. Mayor Hiremath, thanks for being with us.
Bill, it's my pleasure. How are you, Seth?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, sir, for joining us on the program. What are these new design standards about? Is this about, in the long run, economic development?
It is. You know, one of the problems that the town of Oro Valley has faced in years past was just implementing predictability and consistency with developers approaching the town of Oro Valley in projects that they're developing for the town of Oro Valley. And instead of leaving it up to either chance or emotion or the whim of boards and individual council members, what we decided to do was to try to create more predictability so when developers approach and submit a concept plan, most, if not all, of their questions will be answered as far as what the expectation is of the town of Oro Valley relating to development of the town of Oro Valley.
Here are some of the town standards, design standards that have been adopted. Building orientation along roadways should be staggered to create some visual interest. Tell us about that.
Yes, you know, the town of Oro Valley prides itself on just being visually appealing. You know, we have a significant amount of more open space than other jurisdictions surrounding us, and we want to keep that allure to Oro Valley. And so one of the things that we decided to do, not only with town staff, but the Metropolitan Pima Alliance, as well as the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, was figure out how are we going to retain that unique character that Oro Valley currently is. And the concept came up with really just staggering. So you don't have a row of buildings that basically look like cookie-cutter buildings. And so one of the things in the design standards takes into account, you know, we don't want just a flush row of development to occur. We want the buildings to be maybe slightly askew, maybe staggered height-wise a little bit so that it'll break up that visual line as people drive through and really live in Oro Valley.
The Oro Valley Town Mayor is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mayor Hiermath, if you have a question concerning really anything to do with Oro Valley, here's a golden opportunity for you to call us at 790-2040, 790-2040 for any questions that you have for Mayor Hiermath. Another, I like this one a lot, Mayor, shopping cart corrals. And storage areas shall be visually screened through the use of screen walls, landscaping, or enclosed within the building architecture. Maybe that will cut down on some of those shopping carts that we see here around Tucson by the side of the road.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because most people don't take the time or the trouble to think about that. You know, you build a shopping center in, and obviously cart corrals are just a part of it. But this is, you know, the design standards came about, to be honest with you, because year one under my term was more restructuring the town of Oro Valley. We have already completed that. Year two is really about being intentional. And my state of the town address, so the listeners out there get a sneak peek about it, is going to really emphasize the intention with which we go about doing things in the town of Oro Valley during my second year of my four-year term. And this is just one small example. You know, how many times do we go to other shopping centers, and obviously there's a car corral there, but why not make it visually appealing? Why not hide it or camouflage that a little bit so that way it doesn't really look like a shopping center? And, again, it just lends back to my mantra for my second year in my four-year term as far as being intentional with which we do things now.
Mayor of Oro Valley is with us, Mayor Hiermath. Mayor, I understand, according to the least of the Arizona Daily Star this morning here, that Oro Valley may become the second community in Pima County to actually have a full-blown archery course. What's that about?
Yes, you know, the Narana town site was a very large conceptual development plan, and the bond to fund it was defeated a few years back. Well, the town's been sitting on that property, and we've been actively seeking private partnerships to stimulate some kind of development on that land. We were approached by a private organization which is very large and huge in the archery business, and they approached us and said, hey, if you can allow us a piece of land to develop, that we'd like to put the archery range up there, and it'd be a win-win situation because it'll be privately funded. But more importantly, it will start to finally draw attention to the Narana Park site. And so we came up with an area in the park that will not affect what, you know, 130 individuals took their time and trouble and talents to create that master plan. It won't have any effect on the original master plan. It will be a good addition if this comes to fruition.
It's 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, and we have a call to the Buckmaster Show live line, and I believe it is Jerry on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Bill.
Good afternoon.
Whatever happened to the Arroyo Grande's plan?
You know, the Arroyo Grande plan is still in motion. The town of Oro Valley had submitted a petition up to the state land department, and unfortunately, it's kind of just sitting on that desk. Ironically, just about a week and a half ago, I wrote a letter to Governor Brewer, letting her know that we submitted a plan to acquire or annex Arroyo Grande, but we haven't seen or heard anything from their end, and would she please look into that? And I have not heard back, but the town of Oro Valley still plans to annex to Arroyo Grande because you're looking at 9,000 acres of developable land. And as we all know, Oro Valley is pretty much landlocked currently.
Thank you for that call. Mayor, a group that owns the property known as the Oro Valley Town Center at the Rooney Ranch wants to modify its planned area development document. What's that about?
Yes. You know, Bill, when this plan was submitted, I think it was in 2002, the concept was to really have a main street with two-story shopping complexes on either side, so very similar to a Telluride or an Aspen or even San Antonio. But the problem that we have now is that it works in the areas where there's an actual downtown, but the town of Oro Valley is pretty unique that way. We have four what I call neighborhood centers or recreation centers. So we don't have a true downtown. So the builder approached us and said, you know, we're just not sure if this concept is going to fly in the Tonawanda Valley. We'd like to modify it. We'd like to submit an alternative plan because we think that we can stimulate development and we think that we can get development to occur, but it won't occur if we're going to be beholden to really what was talked about in 2002. And I agreed to allow them to submit an alternative development plan, which it has not reached our desk yet. I think it just went through the Planning Commission. So the town council will get a chance to see that most likely in September when we reconvene for our council meetings. But, you know, it's time to start taking a look and, again, being intentional about how we go about developing. And, you know, 2002 from now or to now is a lot of things have happened. And so I think to hold steadfast and firm to an idea that was, 8, 9, 10 years ago, I think we just kind of have to challenge ourselves to say, okay, you know what, that concept isn't going to work, but let's see what the alternatives are, and really to try to create a compromise between what the town of Oro Valley expects from developers and really what developers expect from the town of Oro Valley.
Okay, Mayor Hiermath, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. I'll let you get back to your dental practice, your very successful dental practice there in Oro Valley. How is business, okay?
You know, so far so good. We now have launched our 9th year that we're doing the free back-to-school dental exam.
Oh, for good.
Any child, kindergarten through 12th grade. We're plugging along.
All right, we will keep you posted on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Bill, thank you very much.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Next up, a real health concern in our community. There is a shortage of critically needed blood. We'll talk about that next on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It's 1221. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, along with our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. So we've got Southern Arizona covered for you during the noon hour, Monday through Friday. The American Red Cross needs your blood, and it needs it now. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Deborah Deininger, the Communications and Marketing Manager for the American Red Cross, the Arizona Blood Services Region, which provides blood to 26 hospitals and must have at least 300 people give blood and platelets each weekday to meet these hospital demands. Also with us is Darren Greenlee. Mr. Greenlee is the CEO of the Arizona Blood Services Region. Darren and Deborah, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. We're happy,
Bill,
to be here.
You know, I'll begin with you, Darren, just so folks know. People know the American Red Cross, and they know the Tucson chapter, but these are really your particular, the Arizona Blood Services Region. We're really talking about two pathways to community service, are we not?
Absolutely, Bill. It's absolutely two different lines of service, and while we work very closely together, the chapter, which you spoke of, provides that disaster relief in times of fire and tragedy, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes that happen across the country, in addition to providing CPR, first aid training, that sort of thing. What we work with is specifically blood, and we are responsible for providing blood to the residents of the state of Arizona, and that's our focus.
Deborah, the blood shortage right now is very critical. Here we are, the height of summer, but even though it's summer and it's vacation time, people need blood in hospitals.
They certainly do. The demand for blood doesn't decrease in the summer or any time of the year. We need people to step forward and donate blood continually. Our product is perishable. It doesn't last forever. It does expire. And we need a steady flow of donors coming in all year long.
What are your particular needs right now that our listeners can help you with?
We really need all blood types, but we do have a special need for our O positive and O negative. And that's because that O negative blood is a universal blood. It can be safely transfused to anyone in an emergency. And the O positive is important because it's the blood type most Americans have.
Can most people, Darren Greenlee, give blood?
Actually, no. Unfortunately, only about 37% of America's population is eligible to donate. But the real alarming part about that is only 5% do. There are a number of reasons that might disqualify a person from donating, all the way from where they've traveled within the last few years to some medical condition that they have. So considering that only 37% are eligible and only 5% do, we need every eligible person to strongly consider giving the gift of life through blood donation.
And Mr. Greenlee, I was really shocked to hear that you need so many people every day to step forward to meet the demand. demands of these 26 hospitals.
And that's the unknown, Bill, is most people become aware of the need for blood donation during times of tragedy. For example, in Tucson on January the 8th, we had an influx of donors because it was very public that the need for blood was there. Unfortunately, there's a tragedy in someone's life every day. There's a hemorrhaging mother today. There's a hip replacement today. And so we need individuals and Arizona community to understand that we need their response all the time, not just during times of well-publicized tragedy.
Darren Greenlee is with us, CEO of Arizona Blood Services Region, and Deborah Deininger, she's the Communications and Marketing Manager for the American Red Cross Arizona Blood Services Region. Deborah, this program is heard throughout southern Arizona, so we're into areas in Sierra Vista, Douglas, Globe. You serve a lot of hospitals in the region.
We do. We serve 26 hospitals. Some people think that we serve only Tucson or only southern Arizona, but our service area is the state. So we might be doing a blood drive in Flagstaff one day, and the next day we might be in Nogales. So we want people to remember that we are serving the entire state. That goes back to why we need 300 people every day.
What can someone do to donate blood if they perhaps have never done it before? Is it a simple procedure if you do indeed qualify? And as Darren pointed out, not everyone will qualify.
It is a simple procedure. In general, people need to be in good general health, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be at least 16 years old. In Arizona, the law requires that 16 and 17-year-olds have parental consent. If someone has never donated, they can start by going to our website, which is redcrossblood.org, and they'll find all kinds of information there about the donation process. We encourage them to make an appointment online or give us a call at 1-800-RED-CROSS, make their appointment. Prior to that appointment, get a good night's sleep, have plenty of water, eat a low-fat meal, and come on in and we'll lead you through the process. It's only about 1 hour.
As far as where someone should go, do you have several donation sites?
We have two blood donor centers in Tucson, and those are listed on our website. People can make an appointment for those centers online, or they can call us and make an appointment. But we also have mobile blood drives throughout the state every day. Those two are listed online, and people can look for one that is convenient to them in their neighborhood, their business, their church, their school.
Darren Greenlee, the CEO of the Arizona Blood Services Region, why did you get involved with this?
You know, Bill, that's a very personal story. At the age of 18, my father became ill, and he used 336 pints of blood. That's 336
Whoa.
Donations.
Whoa.
And at the age of 18, that made quite an impression on me, and that's when I became a blood donor myself. And at that time, I think that's really when I decided this is what I do want to do with the rest of my life. 336 people gave so that my father could live, and I just felt like I owed it to the community to give back.
Are all blood centers across the country, are they all usually hurting in the summertime? Is that just a pretty much a seasonal problem?
Yeah, that seems to happen traditionally every summer, Bill. Here locally in Arizona, about 15% of our blood during the school year comes from high school students. And so during the summer, when those high school students are not available to us, we lose that 15%. People travel, they go on vacation. The heat makes people want to stay indoors and not get out to donate blood. So we do see a traditional dip in the overall blood supply, and that's what we're experiencing right now, and appealing to donors to please make sure that our blood supply is stabilized.
The shelf life, Deborah, is what on blood?
Well, for plasma, we can freeze it for a year. Our platelets have a very short shelf life of only 5 days, and our red blood cells, which is the product most used by hospitals, lasts 42 days, and that goes back to our products being perishable. We need people to keep helping us replenish that supply.
And when you have people that are regular donors, I suppose this is tough. You say they go on vacation, and of course, you need new people to step up to the plate.
We do, but we also need people to donate more than one time per year, and some folks do only donate once. We'd ask them to please consider donating one more time each year.
We had a question. What's the maximum number someone can donate? Do you want to take that one in a year, Darren Greenlee?
Sure. You can donate blood every 56 days, every 8 weeks. So that would mean that about six times a year, if you time it just right, the alarming statistic is most individuals donate between 1 and 2 times a year on average.
Oh boy! So financially, how are you doing with the Arizona Blood Services?
With Arizona Blood Services, our revenue is only generated from the blood that we provide to the hospitals and the service that we provide to them. And we are obviously viable, and we want to remain viable in providing blood to hospitals and the revenue associated with that to run our business.
Okay, we're going to have to run, but again, that the website, Deborah.
It is redcrossblood.org, and our phone number is 1-800-RED-CROSS.
And everything is there available about where to go to give blood. And please give blood, especially if you're O positive or
O negative.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be back talking about reclaiming your life, you and the alcoholic or addict in your life. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Many of the Republican freshmen in the House are now climbing on board as Speaker John Boehner tries to win approval of his plan to avoid a government default. An alert issued by the Army says an AWOL Muslim soldier who had weapons stashed in a motel room near Fort Hood has admitted planning to attack, the Texas Post. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is doing his job from a hospital room today. He underwent emergency treatment for asthma. He expects to be released from the hospital early this evening. On Wall Street, stocks have surrendered earlier gains. A couple of the key indexes now in the red. The Dow is down 9 points. The S&P is off 2. However, the NASDAQ Composite Index is trading 6 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
There are times when you save. And there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanqueverty Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, the Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, also in Douglas on KAPR, AM 930 and AM 1240 KJAA in Globe, and call us anywhere from North America on our 1-800 number. That's 1-800-866-725-5467, or locally here in Tucson, 790-2040. In the United States, along, well, actually, more than 22 million people, an astounding figure, really, are addicted to alcohol and other drugs. For every individual with this disposition, there are four or more family members or friends directly involved with their loved ones' substance abuse issues. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Santa Barbara, California, Carol Bennett. Miss Bennett is the author of a new book titled Reclaim Your Life, You and the Alcoholic and Addict. Carol is a professional psychologist. She's a staff blogger on addiction and recovery for the Huntington Post and has worked as a treatment counselor for the Salvation Army and the Council of Alcoholism, and that's the Huffington Post, excuse me, and the Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. She has been personally enmeshed in the world of addiction and recovery with her own family's alcohol and drug dependency issues. Carol Bennett, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you for inviting me. I've looked forward to it all week.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on your book, which is on Amazon and already has garnered 22 reviews, and all are 5 stars. So folks are responding. How did this book come about, Carol?
Well, briefly, the best thing is to write about something you know or you have firsthand experience about, and my ex-husband was an alcoholic. His son, who came to live with us, was a heroin addict, and we adopted 2 lovely girls, and one of them turned out very early on to have a lot of disorders, eating disorders, hair pulling, cutting, kind of a garbage pail of things very early on in life, which was unfortunate. Kind of bumped along the bottom like so many parents did and families, 20-plus years ago. And I made a personal and professional change, moved from L.A. to Santa Barbara, went back to get a master's in clinical psychology, and found that I was doing my hours at the Salvation Army Rehab Center for men, a 6-month work-study rehab program. And it was great. The families would come up to me after 6 months and say how wonderful their sons looked, or their husbands, or their nephews, and they'd say, all wide-eyed and very innocent, "What now? What do I do now? How do I help? How do I not help? What happened?" And I realized that was really a big, kind of a big problem, a big obstacle in what I now term a full landscape recovery, which is, in order for the alcoholic addict to really get a good handle on a clean and sober lifestyle, their family and friends that are involved with them on a day-to-day basis need to know what's their part, so they're not enabling and stepping in the way and taking bait and having stronger communication and recovery contracts and things like that that are really a healthy step forward for all involved in any kind of recovery, whether it's addictive recovery or for the family itself, recovering from their own enabling and their own, as the book says, they need to reclaim their own life.
Carol Bennett is on the phone with us, the live line from Santa Barbara on the Buckmaster Show. Her book is Reclaim Your Life. And as you know, Carol, so much of recovery for the alcoholic or the addict, it's just beset with going back to drinking or back on drugs. How successful are recovery programs, Carol, generally?
Unfortunately, they're not too successful. I have been involved with many residential, outpatient, group therapies, sober living homes, and you have to understand, as we all do, it really needs to start with the individual, the point where it's like, I will do whatever it needs to do, I need to do to become clean and sober. And hopefully, you know, my book is able to be a guide, is to, nobody's thrown under the bus, there's no finger pointing, you know, you're at fault for this or that, it's not judgmental, but it's a guide to be able to show you how you can, as I like to say, Bill, take the playbook off the playing field and go into the stands as the cheerleading section.
Carol,
so you're not, yeah.
Carol, I was going to ask you, is relapse part of the recovery process?
That's a really good question. I'm asked it a lot. The relapse is part of a recovery process if we can learn from it. Like any hiccup or mistake we might make, if we can say, wow, what went wrong? I really need to get more involved with activities, find a better job, not hang out with these people, realize certain triggers and slippery slopes are not healthy for me to be around, and you relapse, then it can be part of a stronger and better recovery. However, if you relapse as often as you want to keep going back to school and get, you know, degree after degree after degree because you're not quite ready to face the workforce out there, then it's not. It becomes a merry-go-round that you're on and on to either buy time or to, you know, garner more sympathy from others, and it really becomes very old and very tiring quickly, and your credibility really loses a lot of ground with your family.
It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. Carol Bennett is on the Buckmaster Show live line. She's the author of Reclaim Your Life, You and the Alcoholic/Addict. If you have any questions about alcoholism or addiction, now would be a wonderful time to join in on the Buckmaster Show discussion. 790-2040. Perhaps you are a recovering alcoholic and you would like to ask or weigh in on this conversation. 790-2040. Carol and myself would love to hear from you. Carol, one of your chapters is titled Dry Drunk. DRY, dry drunk. That's very interesting. Go into a bit of detail about that concept.
A dry drunk is someone that is not physically drinking. They are not taking the bottle or glass or whatever it is, or their illegal substance, drug of choice, and ingesting it, or however they're getting high. And however, they are left with the psychological and emotional ramifications of being maybe angry, resentful, very brittle in their conversation, easily to blame that family member or loved one, a friend or someone, you're the reason why I quit drinking because you said you would do this and that, and there's a lot of punishing and there's a lot of very uncomfortable tension between people because that alcoholic addict, though is not inebriated, has only detoxified and has not taken the time and the important steps to go through the psychological and emotional comeback, so to speak, as to the self-medication process and how they started, what triggered it, what are the things in their life that are unfinished business that they need to really kind of look at so they can have a happy, healthier, full existence without a lot of baggage and skeletons in the closet following them around just because they're not drinking anymore.
What are the challenges and the differences between the alcoholic and the addict to drug, a different kind of drug? I guess you could say that alcohol is a drug as well.
Absolutely. It's same soup, different bowls.
Same. So, but are there specific challenges to perhaps someone who is on perhaps with a drug addiction, not alcoholic?
You know, we can't help but get the vision of the drug addict is someone that, you know, steals and hollowed out eyes and you know, track marks on their arm, and they really are kind of the lower part of our society, and drinking because it's legal is a little more tolerated, and yet alcohol is a stronger problem of addiction, at least in this country, from what my research has brought me, than the hard drugs themselves. anybody can get off of their addiction, whether it's an eating addiction or gambling. It takes a lot of work, and it takes maybe different 12-step programs or personal counseling or religious help or whatever it is. It can be done. There are certain drugs, and I include alcohol in this, that are physically addicting. I mean, you physically need to fulfill yourself with that, or you get very sick. And that's why people go into hospitals or detoxification centers so they can be monitored. It is the same soup, different bowls. It's just sort of looked upon differently because one is legal and, you know, one, if it certainly gets more, you know, very carried away, all of a sudden you can find your jewelry or your silver, you know, stolen and gone and things like that. But it is an addiction regardless of what column it's under.
Carol Bennett is with us, the author of Reclaim Your Life. For a family, Carol, especially the parents, the suspicion that the children are on drugs can be a very scary thing. Do you recommend searching children's rooms, or how do you recommend broaching that subject?
You know, that is the best question that anybody's asked me, and I have grappled with writing a blog about that over and over, and I stop and start. I have a difficult time going into anybody's personal area. I had a friend that said, it's my backpack. I paid for it. If I want to go through my son or daughter's backpack, I have that right. That doesn't set well with me. And yet, you know, maybe Columbine could have been stopped if a parent had gone through their child's room and found, you know, things that he was looking up on the Internet or sketches he was making. My fear is, and it's really maybe not a fear, but it's something to think about. If you are going to go through your child's room looking for drug and alcohol, be prepared for what you may see. If you find that drug and alcohol, what are you going to do about it? What is the plan? Do you want to fly off the handle as soon as they walk in the door, or do you have a plan? I'm a firm believer that if things hit the pause button and are somewhat plotted out so that we don't engage and we stay neutral and we don't react from a 0 to 60 knee jerk, we will get much further along in our communication. If you suspect your child, I always like to start on the column that, hey, I want to give you all the benefit of the doubt, but if you let me down, these are the things I'm going to do, versus I'm suspicious of this, so I'm going to go through those drawers. Again, what are you going to do if you do find something? It's got to be part of the process of your looking and discovering.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question for Carol Bennett, author of Reclaim Your Life, we would be delighted to have you join in the discussion. What do you recommend that if you have a loved one who is in the depths of addiction, what's the best way to approach that?
Well, again, it goes back to having it really start from that alcoholic addict themselves. Chances are they know that they're headed for a brick wall or have already hit that brick wall. So you telling them that is not going to be like, wow, hey, man, thanks. Do you think you'd go with me to an open AA meeting tonight? It's really a pretty slim response percentage-wise. Because we're loving, caring people, and we want to be empathetic, and we are nervous and scared, the best approach, I feel, is kind of get in and get out as quickly as you can. Depending on the relationship, of course, let's say it's your brother and you're concerned. You can go up and say, you know, hey, Mark, I'm concerned about what I'm seeing lately. I know it's none of my business, but I'm here to talk to I'm here to participate in any way that I can. Know that I love you. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to scold. I'm here to be open and to help, if I can. And then you walk away. You give the squeeze on the shoulder. And what you've done is you've not say, what's going on? How come you're doing this? Everybody's worried. Because that's just going to be a defensive posture by the alcoholic addict. None of your business. Who told you to come over to talk to me? There's nothing wrong with me. Look at your life. I mean, you know, I can go down a whole list of what the responses will be.
Go
ahead. I was going to say about when you were talking about the family interventions where everybody gets together and confronts the addict. Do those
I'm not a big fan of interventions. If you have to hogtie that person to get them on the plane, they're not going to really be open to a whole lot of recovery, in my opinion. I believe in staying neutral, not engaging, and being able yet to still be kind and loving and respectful, and keeping the channels of communication open are the best we can offer to the alcoholic addict that may be very strongly in their denial.
We've been talking with Carol Bennett. Carol, thank you very much. The book is Reclaim Your Life, You and the Alcoholic / Addict. I understand portions of the profits from the book sales are going to be distributed for recovery scholarship programs?
Well, yes. It is. A lot of times I like to be able to help somebody that's maybe in a sober living house, kind of what we used to call a halfway house. A lot of times they really can't afford whatever that is for their month of a clean and sober program that's between maybe a detox and, you know, going to live with family or God knows on the street. Also, the Salvation Army is free. There are many programs around a mission where, you know, any donation is helpful, and I'm always happy to be able to participate in that.
We've got to go. Your website again is?
FamilyRecoverySolutions.com.
Okay. Carol Bennett, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Coming up on 1251 on the Buckmaster Show, stay with us.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011, and the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. It's 12:54 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for joining us. Tucson-based Voices for Education will be showcasing national and local films on the importance of public education and why it's time to put the public back in public education. This Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. at the Screening Room, 127 East Congress Street, the event coincides with the Save Our Schools March and National Call to Action, known as SOS, in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Robin Hiller, Executive Director for Voices for Education. Hello, Robin. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for asking me.
Robin, tell me about why this is so important, this event this weekend.
Well, it's important because we have moved away in our country from relying on educators to help us figure out how to improve schools. Right now, we rely on business people and policymakers who have never taught a day in their life. And the parents and students and teachers have kind of been kept out of this discussion. And public education is so important. And what we've done is we are turning our schools into test factories instead of really educating our students. So this whole movement is kind of a reaction to the policies of No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top.
What are some of the flaws of this small-minded thinking of this race to the top? Some would say small-minded thinking. I guess you would agree with that?
Well, I would, although some of the people have bigger heads. I mean, and one of the problems is they are relying on ways that we teach that have no basis in there's no research behind them. For example, high-stakes testing. What the research has told us about high-stakes testing is that students may learn to be good test takers, but they're not higher-level thinkers. And the more we rely on high-stakes testing, the less our children will know. And now there's a movement to increase teacher pay or to penalize teachers if their scores are not high and to reward them if their scores are high on their students' scores. And our students will not learn anything from this, and we will also lose some very good teachers, teachers who are teaching in situations where the kids will not be able to score to increase those test scores.
So that's a problem, certainly, if they're just teaching to the test. How much of that are they retaining? I would probably say very little.
I think they are retaining very little because it's hard to memorize all those things.
Yeah.
And now teachers are actually, you've probably heard about the scandals in Atlanta and New Jersey of incredible superintendents actually cooking the books. And this started with under George Bush when he brought Rod Page to Washington from Texas. He said, in Texas, we increased our test scores enormously. And so he brought Rod Page to Washington. And what we found is that Rod Page had cooked the books. And so we developed these policies that are based on failed experiments.
Robin Hiller is with us. She's the Executive Director for Voices of Education. The event is going to be actually at the Screening Room in downtown Tucson beginning at 11 a.m. Saturday, and I assume you would love folks to come out and view some of the films.
That would be wonderful. The film that we're bringing is a film called The Inconvenient Truth About Waiting for Superman. A few months ago, a movie called Waiting for Superman was brought out, and it was filled with misinformation about how bad public schools are. And this movie was made by two teachers who talk about how, you know, where schools are doing well, where they need to be improved, but also what the fallacies are that we're in Waiting for Superman.
Thank you so much, Robin Hiller, joining us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon, Robin, and good luck with your event this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Coming up on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Want to talk about tomorrow's program at noon tomorrow on the Friday Roundtable and Friday Focus. Our Friday Focus interview will be with State Senator Al Melvin, so get your questions ready to call in for Senator Melvin tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Then at 12:30, it's the Friday Reporters Roundtable. We go over the top stories of the week. It's all happening Monday through Friday on the Buckmaster Show, 12 to 1 on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30, KAPR Douglas. And 1240, KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.